assumption because now is when we're doing the cold open because I just hit the record button. So
right.
We recorded about 15 minutes and we got to about, I honestly don't know in our story where we got to, whatever the part was, whatever part was after half price smash rights, we do not have. So I don't know what part of the story we're on. Anyway, yeah. So Robert took the Amtrak to New York.
Yeah.
We'll just go from there. I've been on the Amtrak with Robert to New York. It is a grueling 11-hour ride from Fayetteville, North Carolina to New York. Personally, would not recommend unless you are just trying to save money.
And even then, I mean, like, yo, that price was not bad. It was about $255 round trip.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, also, you could probably fly Frontier out of Charlotte Douglas to JFK, which I realize is only 15 minutes away from my people's spot.
Yeah. I mean, I do remember seeing that on the map.
I mean, all you got to do is take the clothes on your back and, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying, man. Jet up to freaking New York for the weekend.
You
man.
Do. You go through Spirit. Spirit does like a 24-hour deal.
I'm not doing that. That's a lot of stress.
That's what you literally just said. Talking about...
Which I don't know why. I was just like, yo, let me go to New York to de-stress. In order to de-stress, I am just going to take a 11-hour train ride to
yeah.
a city of the most angry people on the planet. Like
population dense areas in
the
world. The
perfect masochist.
Well, I mean, like, this is
the perfect masochist.
As Cuddy said, this is the soundtrack to my life. So,
day and night, nigga.
Don't they all? Anyway, but yeah, so food wise, the food in New York.
I mean, food in New York is just way better than food anywhere else. That's a possible lie. I mean, but I mean, like, you know.
It definitely is.
Opinions. like, but I mean, like, you can get definitely good-ass food. I mean, shit.
For sure.
I went to this Naruto ramen shop. Which
Wait,
was,
so was it Naruto-themed?
No, it was just called
Naruto.
Ramen.
Okay.
But it did have anime shit all on the outside. But it is definitely Zagat. Is it Zagat? I don't know. Zagat? Z-A-G-A-T.
Yeah.
It's been like, you know, rated good.
This is a rated good restaurant.
This is a good rated restaurant, guys.
Did it have, like, servers in it?
Yeah, it did. Because that's how you get your food.
Did they run into you?
Did they
their arms behind their back? And you were like...
How did
they carry that fucking
ramen? Are they balancing the bowls on their head?
Oh, that would be lit.
Nah, it was hella small in there.
I can imagine, yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, food was good as hell. Cash only prices, which I mean, like, I can appreciate any.
What do you mean cash only prices?
Cash only, you don't eat here.
Cash only, or you don't eat. Like,
yeah, but you said cash only prices. Like, these are prices that you can only pay in cash.
Exactly. They did not accept cards.
That means they are high or low.
$11.51. Your Amex won't cover this.
It's like, get that weak shit out of your bitch.
So I mean, like, you know, it was a cash only spot, but I mean, the food was amazing.
Where was it at?
It was in Manhattan. I forget, like, you know, which area of Manhattan, but I mean, they had several fucking places to go. I went back to Xi'an's Famous Foods.
You went to the same place we went to?
No.
Okay.
But food's still fucking amazing. Of course, they had the pictures of Bobby Flay and Anthony Bourdain on the wall, and I was like, you know what, this is what's up. I have to eat here. I had the spicy cumin lamb noodle.
Ooh, lamb noodle. We were just talking about. Me and Josh were just talking about lamb. Like, okay, so somebody tagged me in a video of this Turkish chef. You seen the Turkish chef?
No, I've only seen Swedish chef.
Shut the fuck up.
Boy out.
the Turkish chef that's on, like, TikTok and everything, he had, like, a... Yeah, shut the fuck up. He had like a
salt bay,
like a not salt bay. The guy that has like the weird, creepy. I'm not gonna break eye contact.
And
smile.
The knife stopped smiling at you.
Yeah.
Oh
no,
boy.
Nah, but he was first off, he was killing the game, and then me and Josh just went down a rabbit hole of just watching like food videos for like an hour. But anyway, they were talking about lamb and eating like lamb's head. Some dude was
exactly.
Eating
it was something. I think his name was the Food Ranger.
Oh yeah.
His name was the Food Ranger, and then it finished the video with him fucking out on eating like goat on eating like goat's brain.
A lamb's head.
Goat head.
Was it lamb?
It's a goat head. And then he was just like, he ate the brain, and he was basically just round robining like, yeah, this is something that if you grew up eating, you could eat it. But I can't really eat it. And he's talking to the Asian guys in China. They were like, hey, would you eat this? Yeah, we grew up eating it. Yeah, if you grew up eating it, you could probably eat it.
He was like, if I had grown up eating it,
I could probably eat it.
I'd probably think it was good. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
But we did.
Exactly. Like, but we did, and we do.
And they did that back and forth 3 different times. Like, he kept coming back. He was just like, if I grew up eating it, I would probably think it's good. And it's like, yeah, but we did, and we do. Like, the guy just kept saying that, and they were talking, and they were speaking in Chinese. And the guy was just like, yeah, man, I did grow up eating it, and I do like it. And the guy was just like, yeah, no, but it's crazy. Yeah, and then the guy just left. I was like, oh, dude,
this sounds annoying.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it really was.
And he did his pandering. Because here's the thing. He was an eccentric, well-cut young white boy, which is who are our food ambassadors, essentially.
Well-cut.
Listen,
I don't know what that meant.
Haircut.
USDA approved?
Haircut.
Well-cut.
Look at this filet mignon white boy.
Haircut, dick cut, everything cut. All right. That's who our ambassadors are. And he's asking other Asians at the table, like, "Hey, would you guys eat this?" First of all, I basically concluded the thing with this, like, I was like, "This motherfucker's name is the Food Ranger. He should be demoted. He's Food Scout at best."
Yeah, he definitely was just like.
He just kept asking that to everybody. Like, he kept describing things the same way when he was tasting food. He's like, oh, it's so creamy. It's so rich. Like, it has a rich creaminess to it. Like, it's got a juicy...
Why do I feel like I have seen this before?
God,
and it pissed me off.
Yeah, no, for sure. You definitely have. But, yeah, no, he did that for... And then he came back up on another video. Oh, no, and the popcorn... That dude made a popcorn out of basically like a blunderbuss. Like, it was wild. He like he packed like a bunch of corn into this thing. I honestly don't even know where
he put corn in a gun. He put corn into like a kettle, but completely sealed.
Yeah, he sealed the kettle.
Yeah,
but I don't know what caused it to.
He made a popcorn grenade.
He made a popcorn.
It was the sugar. The little bit of sugar was.
I guess so. He was just like. Alright, I got the kernels. I didn't even see a heat source. So I don't even know what's heating this whole situation up, honestly.
Yeah, like there was a campfire under it.
Yeah, there was like some little like fire thing he had going. But anyway, he was just like, he poured a lot of corn in there.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, my man is making some popcorn. And then he's just like, and we're going to put a little bit of this sugar in here just to make it sweet. And it's like, okay, cool. All right. I don't really know where this is going. And he's like, all right, we're going to move it around. And he puts it in this little thing. And he's like, all right, I got to get out of the way. He like pops it open with his own foot. And it's just like this explosion.
With his foot?
Yeah. Like, his hand was not going down there because it was a very volatile situation.
It's an Asian street market. You don't put your hands near shit. That's your livelihood. But also, B, you ever seen like a windsock before at an airport? That's when he shot the popcorn into.
He shot a popcorn cannon into a windsock. And it was like an explosion. I was like, I'm 100% sure that was gunpowder he put on the corn.
There are just some words that you don't expect to be next to each other. And popcorn cannon and windsock.
Are three words. Popcorn cannon. Windsock.
And that is exactly how unprepared we were to see that happen. You're just hearing it.
Like,
I was like,
I did
what?
Not, I don't have the proper words other than that. That is the closest thing I can use to describe what I saw.
This sounds like a like the end of a Kenan and Kel show. It was just like, yo, meet me at an Asian street market, bring a popcorn cannon and a windsock. And you're just like, what the fuck is about to go down?
I see you nine, Slappy.
But I mean, yeah, like my man just like shot the popcorn into the windsock and then he just pours it out and they start eating like, yeah, man, this corn is delicious.
Exactly. He was just like feeding the popcorn to other people. He was also like, should I be eating more? Should I be eating more? And then he was like, yeah, eat more.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I just fucking shot this corn out of this goddamn cannon. You better eat this shit.
Exactly. He's like, it's a little sweet. Is it because of the sugar? Which they already told him once he was cooking it, there was sugar in it.
He's like, what are you? He told him to put sugar in. He's like, can you put a little bit of sugar in there? I want it to taste sweet. And then after he's like, oh, this is so sweet. Is there sugar in this? He's like, what the fuck, man?
Exactly. I was like, what a wasted learning of like a Chinese language. It's just
what?
What?
Yeah.
Listen. To learn, like, any...
I never saw this in Next to Classified.
I mean, first of all, you should have. It was the last episode where Cookie didn't have to wear his glasses, but...
this is what happens.
A very special episode of this.
This is the classified. Oh my god, which that does remind me, that is a whole series on Funny or Die Now. A very special episode where they review a very special episode of everything.
Yeah.
Nothing was funnier than Steve Urkel trying to teach like Stephanie Tanner the like importance of laughing with people and it's okay to wear glasses. And I was like, what? Also, I don't care how strange and wacky and nerdy he is. They would not have let a random black man into their home, even if he was the cousin of a one-off character. Not me.
They all exist in the same cinematic universe.
Anyway, okay, going back to New York, I want you to describe some of the food because I kind of stopped you on the way back and I really wanted to know what you had. I know you had the Caribbean food when you got off.
Well, what the hell did I have? Oh yeah, I had that the roast pork and the Spanish rice. That was delicious.
Yeah.
With the passion fruit smoothie. Oh,
ooh,
damn,
boy.
That shit was damn good.
No, keep going. No, I'm thinking about something. Keep going.
Finally got...
All right.
Are you stripping?
Josh has taken his shirt off. There we go.
This podcast's not a video.
Nobody knows, but I'm definitely staring at a little bit of hamburger meat and two Hershey Kiss nibbles.
Call that the Saturday Night Special recipe.
You know, they say trees are living things, but this is definitely what a barrel would look like.
You really do have, like, you have, like, the classic, like, 1940s barrel-shaped body that men had.
I do.
Kudos to you, sir.
I do.
Like, you lift weights, but there's just, like, a bar with two balls on it.
Yeah, that's very true.
You're right.
I'm a pugilist. I like fisticuffs.
Yeah.
You need to shave your head and get a handlebar mustache.
Oh. Yeah, if you really just shaved your head, you'd be all about it. You got that whole beard. You got that physique. You put on, like, those, like, I don't even know how to describe those pants.
It's basically, I basically try them as this. It's just like khakis, except you bring them up here to like closer to the navel, and then you're like, all right, here we go.
You look like you're about to fight your body.
You really do.
He's a unicycle.
You just blow out the bottom part of those pants. I'm trying to think. I had something. I felt like I did something this week that relates to a passion fruit smoothie.
Okay.
And I really don't remember now that I think about it.
See, I love New York because, like, there's just a shit ton of Caribbean people living next to each other. And
yep,
that's
New York.
And
the northernmost West Indian island.
And it's just like, you can get all the good flavors for shit that, like, you know, you can't get down here in the South. And it's just like, It's just a wonderful thing. You can get pineapple, guava, coconut, passion fruit, anything. I saw banana ice cream up there. It should look like it was, and it was soft serve.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boy.
I didn't get it. I got the pistachio.
Ooh! Pistachio.
Soft serve.
Soft serve.
Yes. Coney Island.
Sir, I do have some, now that you say that, I do have some pistachio almond popsicles in the freezer.
I am so proud of you and so happy for you.
And they are amazing.
I love every part of that, and also, too, until into this. So, I don't know if anyone remembers, back in September, I went to Guyana.
That's right!
You did.
I went to Guyana to help my father with the Lord's work, and apparently the Lord wanted to use minimal lidocaine to get Caribbean teeth out of mouths. And I helped him with that because people seemed to genuinely enjoy it. When I was there, you were talking about authentic Caribbean flavors.
People seem to enjoy dentistry.
Yeah, listen,
I mean,
it is.
You
listen,
you don't have it.
It's not available.
You know what? You're right.
It's not available. Resource.
I check my privilege. Like,
yeah, we are America. We are American. We have the privilege to be like, I fucking hate the dentist. Back down there, people just roll up to the tent, and then they'd request stuff, and they'd come into this like unmovable, slatted, like pretty hot building. Where my father's chair would be.
I mean, hell yeah, it was hot like that.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize how hot the equator was. Like, I was like,
it's the equator.
Yeah, I was just down there singing slave hymns. I didn't know you wanted to start singing slave hymns uncontrollably. I was like, swing low. And I was like, oh, just me? Cool, guys. But like, yeah, we would just come up and be like, hey, take three teeth out of my mouth. We don't do that here. And dad'd be like, pop, pop, pop. Yeah, it was, great food there.
Some people pop teeth, some people pop bottles.
That's how it is. I had rum cream. Had some
rum cream.
Whoa!
No, back the fuck up. Like,
okay,
rum cream. What the fuck is rum cream? Because it sounds like it's something that everyone needs.
Has anyone ever? You guys ever had like a bourbon sipping cream before?
Nope.
Okay, so a bourbon cinnamon cream, it is sold around here. I bought it around here. It's called Whispering Creek. So a rum cream is like that. It's like a sipping cream with like a higher ABV that is like, you know, mixed with like fresh cream. And it is pretty delightful. I bought it down there in Guyana at the, I'm trying to remember what the name of the stores are. In
Target?
In airports.
They gentrified the Target! That is something to talk about. We'll get to that in a second.
Exactly. Anyway. But it's like, basically it's like low price storage you can buy stuff for the airport. I really wish I remember it because I was screaming for a long time that I loved it. Because I bought three bottles of liquor for about $11. And it was great. And I could have bought more because they sell liquor at the airports like in foreign countries on the way back for so
duty
cheap.
Duty free, yeah.
Duty free stores, yeah. I love duty free. It's so great. I want to drown myself in foreign liquor at a duty free store. It's so great.
Okay.
Wait, they have a lot of foreign liquor there? Because most of the time it's like American stuff.
No, in the duty free liquor store, like when I was in Guyana, coming back, now we were in a rush because the people that were had to transport us, we were in Johannesburg or whatever. And so we had to like be transported like an hour to the airport. And they were late picking us up. So basically by the time we got there and got through, our plane was already loaded. So the guy realized this when he looked at our ticket, and he was like rushing his hat in there basically. But like, yeah, they had a bunch of stuff. I only bought Guyanese stuff. Bought Guyanese rum, white rum, a Guyanese coconut vodka, and a Guyanese rum cream. And they were delightful in equal measure. I just finished off the last of the rum cream about a week ago, and it was real good. I loved it. It was the beverage was good. The white rum was so smooth that I slapped my mother, and then she got mad at me. Says, "Pour some rum in her mouth," and she was like, "I got it. I get it." You know, like real rude, but you know, I didn't mean to blow up at you like that. And I was like, "Thank you." You know, but like, yeah, I got to eat goat curry when I was down there.
Ooh,
I got to eat like saltfish. I got to eat something.
Hell yeah.
I ate something called like a beef hot pot, which is a specialty that they only make on special occasion.
Yes,
I drink guava juice every morning. Had fresh guava.
As the son of a dentist, I feel like that's terrible.
Yeah, listen, man. I
can see why you had to go down there.
Yeah, man. I was like, this is phenomenal. Like, my dad is always like, oh, I wouldn't have tested it, and I would have tried to eat all that food that I was familiar with. And I was like, that's why I'm down here. Why do you think I followed you down here? You guys, we can all hold hands at 6 a.m. in the morning on the bus and pray? You think that's what I'm down here for? I'm not down here for that at all. I'm here for the food and the culture.
I'm here to diversify my palate.
Exactly.
But, yeah, anyway, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was thinking about. We went and saw Chris 2 weeks ago, and we had the tequila ice cream. Boy, that tequila ice cream was amazing.
That was great. Tequila float with the pineapple jarritos?
Ooh, boy.
Excellent.
I can't remember. What did you have? You had three things. What were they?
I had the passion fruit. I just had the passion fruit juice one. I had the tequila. I had the tequila and jarritos float.
Yeah.
And then I had the mango with the chamoy sauce.
I got some of that too in popsicle form.
Yeah, I was just being big as fuck that day.
Those all sounded good. I forgot to get the pistachio pudding.
Was it you who said to me about the pistachio pudding? Because I think my cousin was definitely talking to me about pistachio
pudding. There was definitely pistachio pudding in that bakery or ice cream.
Damn.
But anyway, going back to New York, was that all the food that we talked about, all your food?
Like, probably not, man.
You were there a whole week. Like, what were some big things?
I didn't get to go out the way I wanted to because, like, my cousin was being the flyest bitch ever doing her schoolwork. And so there was the one time I ventured out by myself, that's when I had to walk 63 blocks.
Oh, so you were with your cousin most of the time?
Yeah, I was with my cousin most of the time. I just kind of like chilled out at the house. Because I mean, like, I went up there partially because my aunt has breast cancer. And so I was just there. I went to a chemo treatment with her. And, like, you know, we were sitting there just trying to find her wigs and shit like that. And some of them were just terrible. And, like, you know, just trying to, like, help her out. She was feeling really bad. She lost a lot of hair while I was there, just in that 1 week. Part of it is because she was pulling it out. But I mean, like, you know, you sit there, you know you're losing your hair. It's kind of like a thing. It's like, you know you're losing it, and you're so used to your hair being long for so long, and you know it's just coming out every time you touch it, and it's just like, you know, you sit there with it in your hands, and it's like, wow. I know it's kind of tough to return, but like,
but it happened. That's kind of what you were doing.
Yeah, like, you know, I was there for her just to have some good quality family time, and it was great. I love my titi's personality. It's just great to be around family and to get away from just here. It's a side of my family that I don't get to normally be around and see. So, I mean, like, it was great. It was great. We went out, got some food, because we all just love food like the majority of people in the world do.
Yeah, no, that's true. With that, we'll take a quick break.
Me, because she was keeping me away from the devil's playground.
Yeah, and with that opening, what are you talking about when you say
the devil's playground?
The devil's playground. Okay.
Hell's kitchen.
But I will say, okay, like, I was sleeping in the basement, and my family just casually brings up that in my aunt's room there is a closet where there is a high level of spiritual activity. And my cousin was just like, yeah, I've been sleeping there before, and I definitely just heard it's just like, if you stay here any longer, we're going to kill you. And I was like, whoa, how the fuck are you just going to tell me this shit now? And are you telling me it's just that specific room
do we have a devil room in the house? This is why we have these things in here. This is why there's so many fucking crucifixes. And so my aunt's husband just has a bit, like any Latino household will fucking have, just has a tremendous golden cross there in the devil room to try and ward off the bad spirits. And I'm glad that the cat decided to sleep with me because apparently cats ward off evil spirits. So, I mean, like, you know, the cat was just protecting me from evil.
Egypt in the house.
Egypt, what's up? Egyptians. So, yeah, so now we have a devil room. And I'm just like, I could never sleep in my aunt's upstairs ever. So, like, you know, protection. And, yeah. That's where that comes in for devil room. Another thing, we're talking about when I went up there, my family doesn't live in the best part of Brooklyn. And so they were worried about me walking to the train stations and shit by myself. And I was just like, first off, I'm just a brolic motherfucker. So I'm like, I have RBF all the time anyway. So I mean, like, nobody's really going to fuck with me unless they truly want to fuck with me. Somebody's really trying to test me. We're talking about how my parents grew up in New York during like one of the worst times in New York's history. And that is their consistent view of it. So,
and what's crazy is that's not like really an opinion. That was like in the museum.
That was in the Museum of the City of New York. It's just like the 60s and the 70s were just a terrible time for New York.
Just like, ooh.
The city was pretty much almost bankrupt. It was comparable to almost the fall of Rome at this point. Like, they were borrowing for everything. It was a miracle that they made it out and became what they became. So, like, you know, my parents are roaming around the city when it was literally called Fear City. There are gangs everywhere. Like, there was even the jean jackets with all the gang patches and shit like that on there. My parents, even though
the Bronx was on fire.
The Bronx was literally on fucking fire. Like, you can see it on TV where places were burning down. There's rubble in the streets everywhere that you go. And this is just my parents' playground. And so, like, you know, this is their consistent view, even into, like, their 60s of what New York is like. And I was like, guys, they have completely changed New York. Yes, there is still crime. Yes. As with any type of big city. But it is nowhere near the same place it was when you guys were growing up. When you guys were growing up, Times Square was filled with just, like, pimps and hoes everywhere and strip clubs and, like, all this type of shit everywhere that you went. Now, with the Disneyfication of Times Square, you have, like, you know, the Lion King on fucking Broadway and an M&M store. So, I mean, like, it's not the same place. So, I was just like, yo, let me live. And we were talking with my cousin about gentrification and all this type of shit. Now, we go to this Target. And first off, I'm from here. So, when I see Target, I was just like, yo, this is where all the nice shit is at. And she's just like, oh, yeah, we're in the Target. But they fucking gentrified the damn Target when they put that damn Starbucks in there. And I was just like, the Starbucks is what fucked up this Target. And when I went there with them, I kind of had to agree. The Starbucks is what gentrified the damn Target. Because it just seemed really out of place.
Which is wild because, I mean, Starbucks and Targets are pretty synonymous.
Yeah. It really was wild. But you know what? Fuck Starbucks. It's all about Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin', and never was that more clear to me than when I went to New York, when literally while driving around or walking around, there is a Dunkin' Donuts seemingly on every fucking corner. And I'm starting to think, do we get all of the cop jokes just because there is a Dunkin' Donuts on every corner and because it's ubiquitous? That's why all the cops eat donuts.
It's because they're just available?
It's just because they're available. And, like, we've been talking shit this whole time. But it's literally just like, yo,
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
The craziest thing about just being in this room is that when Josh isn't talking, he just seems like a spirit that's still here. If you just look at Josh from across the room, you're just like, is this person actually here? What was that noise?
I heard like an alarm.
Anyway.
Did you put the microwave on?
No, I think I left the door open on the fridge.
I also have a need. I have a need to say that this is not a branded podcast because the overwhelming support for Dunkin' Donuts makes it seem like.
Yeah.
And I just,
I fuck with Dunkin'.
It's like
you do not run on Dunkin' Donuts.
I do.
Exactly.
Robert does.
Exactly. I mean, and also I had to look into my phone real quick to speak about parents growing up in bad places at bad times.
I just want bacon, egg, and cheese is in my mouth all the fucking time.
I mean, I respect that. And to transition, let's talk about slavery in Mississippi history, boys and girls. So my parents grew up in the 50s and 60s in Mississippi.
Woo!
I was looking at my phone because we went to the Mississippi History Museum, which, surprise, surprise.
Wait, you did that a few weeks ago, right?
I did that, like, last month.
Yeah.
Like a few weeks ago,
August.
A month and a half, same difference. And then we went to the Mississippi Museum. A lot of slavery in there, obviously. But then also, it's
like
currently,
it's like
there's still money.
Mississippi shit.
A little bit, but we don't go in those areas. And that's and then it was basically talking
that
about
neglect is what's condemning,
like Jim Crow, segregation, the rumor spread about like African American soldiers during like World War II and such, and it was just like very interesting to look at all that. And I'm like, hey, fun fact, guys, there's a list, there's a bunch of lynchings listed essentially from about 1850 to like 1949 or something, and that is actually early 1800s. That's a lot of lynchings, and it was basically it's very telling that like the year after the last amount of lynchings were listed, my parents were born. I assure you, there were more lynchings going on. They just ran out of paper. So, like, that's where my parents' fear comes from, especially my significant other being a Caucasian woman. They were like, see if you, like, if she ever asked you to hang out in a grove with a lot of trees, maybe, like, take her to a park instead with no trees. It's like a large clearing.
What? Park with no trees?
Treeless park.
Treeless park. It's like a large clearing in the center of it, like as depicted, I'm sure, in some iteration of Spider-Man. So that was that's my experience growing up. Poor times, poor decisions. You couldn't get black people into swim teams or debate teams, apparently, if I'm to believe right from the movies. And boy, they were a lot more creative with their racial slurs, but that's is a story for another moon.
That might be another tirade for another podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, so so we went through all yours. Is that everything you had for the New York trip, man?
Nah, man. Here's what we're going to talk about right now. Wait for it. Erotic hot dogs.
And that is what is that?
Those are just spicy hot dogs.
Just a spicy dog.
Yeah, like listen, man.
Like, is it exclusively a spicy dog? Maybe like an Italian sausage?
I'm pretty sure it is either a Hebrew national or a soubrette.
So what makes them spicy? Just
pepper.
yeah.
Like, some types of chilies of some type of some kind.
Like on the dog after it's cooked, or
like
inside,
I think it's just
the dog?
I think it's just inside the dog. It's just flavored the way that way when you cook them.
So this is exclusively a spicy dog.
Yeah, just exclusively a spicy hot dog. Like, here's what happened, man. So we're just sitting here. My uncle comes up and he's just like, my aunt is really trying to cook healthy. Meanwhile, my uncle, who is got everything wrong with him, but is still in like top peak physical condition, Like, the man's got diabetes. He's legally blind, legally deaf, still drives. This is the same motherfucker who, like, fell through a roof onto an engine block, got up like it was nothing. He's sitting there. My aunt's just trying to, like, make salads and other healthy foods, and he just comes up. He's like, "Hey, man, anybody want a hot dog?" And he's just like, "Yeah, they're spicy ones." He's like, "Oh." And he meant, like, these are exotic hot dogs, but my other aunt, the one who has, like, the cancer, was just like, "Yo, you got erotic hot dogs on the grill?" And everybody was just like, "Yo, you got these fucking erotic hot dogs? Let's get one of these shits. These shits is fucking banging." Literally. Like, these motherfuckers is about to be absolutely hitting. And we just called her out for wanting erotic hot dogs because she is a sexually guided woman. She is. I don't want to just come out and be like, "Yo," because Auntie is a nasty bitch. Like, that's kind of how this is.
She's nasty.
I love that.
So what you're saying is she fucks.
Oh God. I don't want to think about this.
You just said she's nasty.
Yeah, but nobody wants to think about this family member like this, man.
Yeah, but you're the one that brought up the fact that she's nasty and erotic hot
dogs. It's just the fact that this is the way her brain works, and she's the one who yelled out, "You got them erotic hot dogs."
Oh, she's the one that brought it up.
Yeah.
I thought you said the uncle brought up the erotic
hot dogs. No, he was just like, he tried to say exotic hot dogs, and Dithi was just like, "Yo, you got them erotic hot dogs on the grill."
I mean, I love that because, like, I was
like, "Oh, girl, you nasty,
girl, you are nasty."
I was like, the question is
not healthy.
Why is it spicy? It's like, why is it erotic? I was like, thank God I heard that story because I was
life
like,
makes that erotic.
I'm like, erotic hot dogs. These things are so spicy, you'll cum your pants immediately. It's like, oh, I'll take two.
I mean, side note, they were delicious.
Like, on a side note, I did bring a spare pair of pants, and I did use them that night.
Those erotic hot dogs were amazing.
Amazing.
Sauerkraut and mustard.
But, in conclusion, New York trip. Did it accomplish what you wanted it to accomplish?
More or less. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I went and, of course, I wanted to write while I was there, but it just didn't come to me. Like, my writing hasn't been coming to me like I wanted it to. But the more that I just sat there in the place where my parents grew up, I felt this overwhelming feeling of belonging. Literally because there were just so many Black and Latin people in, like, 1-2. And they do overlap. Latin people, I need you to accept that you are Black. You have African ancestry. Stop denying that shit. You can be dark as hell and sitting here, like, you know, say that you are not Black is like sunwear. Like, it's ridiculous. I sat there. And I was just like, damn, my people are fucking beautiful, man. And that was what I was contemplating on the train right back. Like, I come from a beautiful people. Like, it's one of those things where just like, you know, you see people do interviews, you're just like, "Yo, my people are fucking beautiful," and doing this, that, the third. And I was just like, I really got to feel that. Because growing up here, I did not have Latin people around me a lot. And just being around there, and they were non-military. It was just ordinary people, civilians, walking in the street, living their lives. It was such a beautiful, like, I hate to be cliche, but, like, woven tapestry of culture and everybody interacting with each other. But it just felt amazing, and it felt like I belong here. And I honestly contemplated just like, yo, do I eventually want to move here? What can I do to be living here and succeed and survive? What is an apartment gonna cost me? These are, like, I was having some real ass thoughts about, like, you know, moving up there just because, like, I feel like I belong up there because I was able to be around my own people. Like, it's just like, you know, whenever Superman would see shit with Krypton and everything like that, he just felt more at ease because he saw people who were like him. And it was wonderful. And, like, you know, you can't take that feeling back. And I'm glad that I got to experience it.
Well,
and I love that. And to also undercut that moment for a moment, I was in Mississippi 7 years ago, and I got chased down the street at 1 o'clock in the morning by a dog. My cousin and one of his cousins. So three young black males running down the street chased by a dog helped me connect to my Mississippi ancestry. And I was like, I don't want to do this shit anymore. Take me back to North Carolina. And I was like, you know, good to be around all my people there, but I was like, ooh. Like, especially if you know a fun
too
fact.
Too real.
Yeah, too real. Fun fact for you kids, Mississippi, what was it, ratified, I believe, was the 14th Amendment? 13th to 14th Amendment, and that was until about 2012. So
wait, what? Which amendment? Because the 13th Amendment abolished slavery.
Yes, the 13th Amendment. They ratified the 13th Amendment in 2012. I looked this up a long time ago.
There was a huge thing in the news about it a couple of years ago about that shit.
Yeah, it took them a long time to get there, and let me tell you, nothing makes the song from Princess and the Frog that Tiana sang Almost There more relevant.
I'm so pissed I still have not seen Princess and the Frog.
I have not.
I haven't.
My daughter's finally seen
just,
it.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah, like, you should. Prince Naveen is delightful, but really, I like Louie the Alligator.
It says, hold on. No, keep talking.
I'm like,
to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I looked it up and I was like, so you telling me all those family trips I took down there when I was younger, they could have just sat my ass up and threw me in the cotton field and they were like, well, technically.
Okay, this says that. Keep going.
Yeah, so they were super late ratifying the 13th Amendment, and I was like, And I like to thank you for coming from such a cultural bastion, like, and all your family lines coming from New York, you know, the city where everyone was just like, you know, bring us your huddled masses, and then where my parents came from, it was like just the sound of a banjo for 13 minutes. Until all the black people left. And then, you know, they went into the off parts. You know, they call Jackson, Mississippi, Jaffrica? Jaffrica. It's not a good thing to be called that. Go ask any country in Africa if they want to be called Jaffrica.
Yeah, okay, so it looks like the 13th Amendment was ratified by Mississippi in March 16th, 1995. But was certified February 7th, 2013.
Oh boy, terrible.
After it was rejected December 5th, 1865 was like the first time they had rejected it.
And they forgot.
Like, that was the thing. They forgot. Like, the Secretary of State.
Like, somebody was just like, hold up, wait a minute.
The Secretary of State was just like, he just kind of forgot that Delaware, Kentucky, and no, yeah, even New Jersey rejected it the first time.
Jersey?
In 1865. It took them almost a year before they certified it or ratified it. Texas did it in 1870, Delaware 1901, Kentucky 1976, after they rejected it in February 25th. They just, like, rejected it, and they just, like, forgot.
That's basically it. Mississippi.
Where did that Snickers from?
Something you got.
I'm pretty sure you bought it earlier when you got the gas station. Oh. Mississippi, where the state motto is, you said what now?
I said we got to do what?
Oh, boy. Which is just, you make me tell me. We could have been doing this whole time. And we forgot.
You tell me. I go out my house. I walk down to the cornfield. And I pick all that goddamn corn. I check it myself. And I could have 15 left niggas doing it for me. What you talking about now? Boy, those are the good times, folks. Those are the good times.
Oh, God.
I could have just had some of that good old red bone vinegar.
Guys, red bone vinegar. I don't know who we gotta put this on. But
today's podcast has been brought to you by
Red Bone Vinegar. What did we say in the car? I can't remember.
You said it sounded like something like, what, some Louisiana bourbon?
I know. It's like, you know, you're going to have some like Louisiana bourbon called Red Bone Vinegar. But what was the catchphrase you came up with in the car?
Like, all right, now y'all.
Yeah, it's basically it's just gonna be some inaudible Cajun catchphrase. It's like red bone vinegar. You won't need on the number.
You just make it into some like inaudible, just some inaudible like. Cajun, like French, Acadian talk, just like, dude, you basically need to have the guy from Waterboy. They're like, dog, this was like, home is once you make it, home is once you make it.
Oh, that would be too perfect. I'd love that. I tell you, man, like anything and anything.
I didn't know where I'm goddamn going. Save me.
You know, it needs to be Boom Howard.
Why is everybody that's from Louisiana supposed to be like 100% inaudible? Like you can't understand anything they say.
You got the guy from Waterboy. You got Boomhauer.
It's only two you really know, bro.
That really is. But I feel like there's other times where there's like a Cajun person like talking and you really can't understand what they're saying.
All you gotta do is get down there and hear that twang tongue, boys. Let me tell you, I was in Louisiana recently. You just gotta get close and then...
Who is that political figure that's always on CNN? He's from, like, Louisiana. And he kind of just looks like an alien from fucking South Park.
You talking about? Jesus Christ.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
You know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was like the Cajun... What's his name?
Cajun Persuasion.
No.
That's his name.
Raging Cajun. Yeah, what's his name? Chester Carville. James Carville.
James Carville.
Yeah, he was like...
Is there any more Louisiana?
Yeah,
his cousin
like
James Carville, who is the cake aficionado.
Exactly.
Carville cakes.
One did ice cream, the other did, what, fried chicken alligator tails?
Nah, but I've always wanted to go to New Orleans. Like, I feel like that's a very... interesting place to go to.
It's my favorite. So where his is the.
And I was like, why would you order a po' boy? I'd just be one.
Just like, Rob's favorite food is the Caribbean food of New York. Mine is the Cajun food of Louisiana. I love it. I'll eat gator forever.
I love some good gator tail now. Don't get it twisted now, baby.
I love crawfish. You put me in some crawfish etouffee, I tell you what, boy. I try you in the bayou, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. No, that might have to be our title. I'll try you in the bayou.
Try you in the bayou.
But all right, so this has got to be like our last 5 minutes. Anyway, this has been hilarious. I feel like I was the only person that didn't say anything. So, real quick, here's what I've done for the past like week. Fucking nothing. Like twice my chickens gave me 3 eggs, and I only have 2 of them, so I don't know who's doubling down.
Yeah, I walked into that refrigerator, and I saw how many eggs are up there.
Yeah, I've got like 20-plus eggs right now.
Exactly.
Like, they're cranking, there's some egg laying through.
It's like that Rugrats meme where, like, Stu accidentally ordered, like, a gross of eggs.
But, I mean, yeah, so I got a Roomba, you guys saw that?
I mean, like, I feel like you're the best of all of us. Cause you got grapevines, you got all that good gossip coming through there, and grapes, and
you
got
have some grapes coming through,
and you got chickens. I tell you, man, and you got a Roomba. your life's way more put together than mine is, and you're like the a master Roshi level hermit, and it's the best kind. It's exactly like Master Roshi. Like, you got your shit together.
Yeah.
I feel like the art that you need for this room is just a random oil painting of Eartha Kitt.
You know what? I would say that is the case, because I remember why you don't like Santa Baby, and I still tell people
that's
the same.
That's me. Santa Baby.
Yeah,
Eartha Kitt. That's
you.
I thought that was you. Because you imagine a sexy Eartha Kitt?
Yeah, it's weird to me. Because as far as I've been alive,
it's just sexualized Eartha Kitt.
Just imagine like an Yzma singing Santa Baby.
That's what that is.
I mean, I guess so.
Santa Baby.
Oh, you don't have a shirt on. Don't touch yourself.
Yeah, listen, that makes it even better,
that
though.
That makes it even worse.
Hey, man, at least I'm in character. Could you imagine chocolate skin of an Eartha Kitt singing Santa Baby in this?
It's good times. I can because I'm looking at you, Josh.
Exactly.
I'm really glad that I've turned away from Josh.
Yeah, you're in the best position. I'm in the worst position.
Hey,
I'm in a staring contest with his nipples, and I am losing badly. Like, I
hey, man. Listen, and he's saying it's bad. Can't be that bad. Can't look
away. I'm in trance. Sorry.
You're in a seal ball at the fucking Hershey's factory watching the conveyor belt.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to, like,
hey,
as many as I can.
I was saying, man, it's a... Every kiss begins with K.
For the record, that is not consent for me.
Yeah, you definitely. Anyway.
Yeah, everybody take a drink after that.
Yeah, we got a few more minutes left. Big shout out to Katie Baker, who just had her baby like a couple of days ago, fresh off the vine baby. Juniper D.
Whoa!
I can't remember her last name. I'm sorry.
Damn.
My bad. I should have thought that. What is his name?
I don't know, man.
Hold on. Should I be saying this baby's name out loud?
Yeah, please don't.
All right, Juniper.
Don't out this baby. All
right, I'm not. I thought you said don't dox this baby. Shit.
He's like, whoa, okay, really getting early, I guess.
He's like, the baby just got born.
That baby barely has a
social security. Doesn't even have documents yet.
Exactly.
You're just doxing baby. You're just going to ruin this baby's life. Anyway, congratulations to Katie. Very good friend of ours in San Diego, California.
The mother of Boulder Dash.
Yes, Katie No Mercy Baker. Also, a big shout out to Ulysses Preston, because I definitely had a playlist last week on Spotify that was nothing but Yuli bangers. A lot of
the Yuli bangers.
A lot of Outkast, a lot of Talib Kweli. Just
there was some Erykah Badu.
Definitely was some Erykah Badu in there. It was Hip Hop Drive, but it's definitely changed now. Don't know how I would ever get those songs back, but Yuli, I was definitely thinking about you.
Just any type of neo-soul that you would listen to drunk at 3 a.m. while being naked.
In the mid-2000s.
Exactly.
Anyway, shout out to Ulysses. The red light's coming up. We got about 30 seconds left. You guys got anything? Plug your pluggables.
You can follow me at Ferreras on literally all social media. I will say anything to anyone. It's my life motto.
Like the great Muhammad Ali said, nothing better, Dr. Pepper.
Hashtag slavery.
All right, and I got nothing. Peace.